My name is Logan, your sound and audio engineer. Today we are joined by our host, Colleen, our co-host, Paul. Today we're going to be talking to Paul, who is an author to 23 books and two more coming out in 2026. Paul also has 18 movies, many from screenplays he's written or worked on. Today, Paul will be talking us through writing your screenplay and popular programs used to format. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. How are we doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. How's everybody out there?
Hopefully good. All right. Today we're going to talk about screenwriting for the beginner.
Okay.
And a screenwriter, you can use programs, pad and paper, Word. There's no wrong way to do it. How do we find the ideas to start a screenplay? Where did the ideas come from? I know you mentioned a lot that you get your ideas in the shower or out fishing or just kind of when your brain is relaxing and doing stuff. Once you have those ideas, what do you do with them?
Well, once you get an idea, first you have to determine that your idea will carry you all the way through basically 100 to 120 pages. That your idea is not just a scene, but a real idea for a screenplay. So then you take the idea and you massage it and try to figure out exactly where you're going with it. But it all starts with this little kernel of an idea that you get, that you dream about, you hear about, something you read about. But there's no way that I certainly don't have an idea. I have no idea where my ideas come from.
Right. We've worked on some scripts before that are historically accurate.
Yes.
So in that case, you do your research, you do your history. You know that, for example, like when you work on a World War II film, you know that Hitler died in April and not June.
True.
And you know the people, you know the players, so that helps propel that script forward. What about people who want to write, fiction or nonfiction, fantasy or horror or just, you know, the movie of the week type of film?
Well, again, once you get the idea, and I'll go back to your analogy about the historical. I think everybody has seen the picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware and the boat on Christmas Eve during the Revolutionary War. That's a historical fact. What did those guys in the boat say? We don't know. We don't know what they said. You know, somebody had to say, George, this is not what I signed up for.
Right.
Man, this is really cold.
Yeah.
You know, so you make it up.
Right.
But it's got to be relevant to what you're doing.
So, to the era.
Yeah. If you're writing a science fiction about the moon, there's probably only, I'm going to guess, maybe 10 people who have actually seen the dark side of the moon. And if you're not one of them, you either have to research or make it up. You know, one of the exercises I used to do in my writing class was have my students travel to the dark side of the moon and then ask them what they saw.
Right.
And some saw cities, some saw nothing, some saw all kinds of stuff.
So then that can be broken down to a perspective or how you want the story to flow.
How you want to move it forward.
And then that brings us to formatting.
Format.
Let's talk about formatting. Because that's hard for a lot of people.
It is, because it's hard to understand. And the best way to learn formatting of a screenplay is to read screenplays. And there's an excellent website called Drew's Scriptorama.
Which we will link.
We'll link it too. But Drew's Scriptorama has a copy of every screenplay I think that's ever been written. And they normally have two or three copies of the screenplay. They'll have what they call a shooting script, a submission script. But if you're going to Drew's and you're looking for a screenplay, look for the shooting script, because that's a script that the actors have in their hand the day they're shooting. So that's 90% of what the movie's going to turn out to be.
Right.
But the formatting of it is entirely different from anything that you've ever written.
There's still a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Basic formatting.
Yeah.
But when you come to formatting scripts, you don't do details.
No.
Details are for your DP or for your director, for your set designer.
Yes.
You're giving, with formatting for scripts, you're doing a basic outline.
Sure. As a novelist, I can take 10 pages to describe a classroom filled with college students. In a screenplay, it's interior classroom. There are 20 students sitting at a desk. I don't have to describe what they're wearing. I don't have to describe.
That's a lot of students for one desk.
Anything. Yes, I know. Very large desk. But I don't have to describe, you know, their makeup, you know, their sexual makeup, their racial makeup, the clothing, anything else about it. That's somebody else's job. My job is to get the story down.
Okay.
And screenplays are you break a screenplay down into three basic elements. You have action, you have dialogue, and you have characters.
Okay.
And the first thing you got to have is good characters.
And that brings us into characters. So what makes a good character in two lines of description and pages of dialogue?
You want me to immediately love to love or love to hate your character. Give me something to hang that character's background on. Give me, when you describe them, give me everything I need to know in two lines.
Right.
You know, if it's a character who has a strong Southern accent, who stammers when he's excited, tell me that, and then you don't have to write the dialogue as if he was stammering, because the actor will know that I've got to use a strong Southern accent and I've got to stammer when I'm excited.
Well, and that's a good leeway into dialogue. A lot of people get hung up on dialogue.
Yeah.
And you have to know, us as screenwriters, we know that we can put in the dialogue and it sounds right in your head, sounds right on paper, but when the actor reads it, it might not sound that good. And I know from my experience, I'm okay with letting the actor take the dialogue as long as it's still within the context and making it their own.
Actors generally will tell me what to say and not how to say it.
Right.
You know, give me the words to say and let me figure out how to say them.
And then they might not be the right words depending on where you are in the film, too. It might have changed, and so you have to be willing to rewrite or change the dialogue to keep the continuity of what you've already filmed.
And there are some words and some actors, you might have a word that you love and that actor simply can't pronounce it.
Exactly.
And you've got to change it.
Because I can't, I know I have a speech impairment that does not allow me to say the O-Y in a word. So I cannot say Rory.
Well,
and
I'm
struggle with that.
I'm the same way with mirror and horror. Because it always comes out, to me it sounds like I'm saying mirror and horror.
Yes.
You know, and I try to avoid those words when I'm writing, because I don't know how other people will
exactly. I think I had a word that I filled in for an actress one time, and she had to say oyster.
Yeah, oysters.
Or oysters, yeah, and I cannot say that.
Yeah, just, I remember that. Yeah,
yes, it was terrible for me.
Yeah. So, and you're going to run into that, but there's no defense against it, because you don't know, unless you're the writer, producer, director, and casting agent, you don't know who's going to be saying those words.
You,
so,
yeah, you don't know who's going to be able to say.
Yeah.
If they can say
who's,
those words.
You don't know who's going to be able to say a horror mirror.
Or sure. So what about action in film? How do we, because everybody, you know, when you write an action piece, you want to say that Susan took out her weapon and she blasted them away and shells were flying and blood was flying. And when you get down to it in writing, you have to say in the script, Susan was in a firefight.
Exactly. And, you know, you have to depend on the director and the stunt coordinator and other people. Let them do their job. Everybody has seen a sequence where a car is being chased and they drive through an alleyway. And in that alleyway, there's at least 100 boxes that car runs into. And they're all empty and they scatter to the four winds. And at the end of the alleyway, there's a truck that stops them. So put in your screenplay, John and Mary are in a car chase. They run through an alley, and at the end of the alley, there's a tractor trailer truck blocking them, and let somebody else figure out how to get them through the alley.
Right. Or I see like a lot of action films that take place in France or any place in Europe. They're going through the street markets, and there's all the little tuk-tuks, and they get, they drive through all the tuk-tuks, having lived in Europe, I've never really seen them like that. Maybe at the Kris Kringle markets, but nothing set up like that.
Yeah, and in the movies, when your action hero gets into a fight, he's going to get beat up terribly, terribly bad, and pull through it. And speaking from experience, having been in several fights as a teenager, it really hurts when you get hit in the face.
Yeah.
And you're not going to jump back as quickly as your action hero does, but everybody's going to expect it, so let them do it.
That's how you write it. Let's talk about programs, because that's a big contention of what programs to use. We use Final Draft.
Yeah.
That is an industry standard.
Yes.
There's also Celtex,
right,
which I hate. It never worked for me. That's my personal preference. I did not like Celtex, but it is free to a point.
If you're going to write screenplays, you've got to have a screenwriting program, because the formatting is so different from anything you've ever written before that you'll be completely confused and nobody will read it. If you turn in a screenplay written like you would write even a stage play.
Yeah, not written on Word, because that's terrible. Don't submit your script with Word.
Use a script. Colleen mentioned Final Draft. Final Draft is industry standard. It's one that everybody uses. It's the greatest program. I've been using it for many, many years, and I highly recommend it, but you don't need it right now. Don't write your first or second screenplay on Final Draft unless you can afford it.
I disagree. If you can afford it,
then
get it. And it's not horribly expensive. I think it's,
There's a student version.
There is a student version, but the regular version, I think, is like $150, and they do a lot of sales.
Yeah.
On the program, sign up today and get $50 off or whatever it is.
If you're serious about screenwriting, and I hope you are, or you wouldn't be watching this, but if you're serious about screenwriting, you may want to invest $150 in a program. I would suggest, however, that you try to use Celtex for the first one so you can see what you're up against and see if you can actually use it. But Celtex is free, and it's a good, if you can make it work for you, it's a great little program.
Obviously, I couldn't make it work for me.
Yeah.
It made me angry. But Final Draft has changed so much in the last year that you can now put images in. This is what I'm thinking when I'm writing it. You can do camera POVs, and this is very helpful for people who are the director, the writer, the videographer, DP, whatever. If you're like a student film or even a short film, the access that Final Draft has to put stuff in your film is fantastic. It's especially for new people or people who are doing it just by themselves or with their friends, they don't have a budget. So that's where I think Final Draft has really taken that information and run with it. And them sponsoring South by Southwest and all the other film festivals, they saw the need of independent filmmakers and went, here, let's put it in here. And now you can actually put it into your screenplay as you're doing it.
And you can import, if you started out writing in Celtec, and you like it and you want to get Final Draft, you can import directly from Celtec into Final Draft, and it reformats it in perfect order for you.
Yeah.
So,
and you can do the same thing if you write in Word, you can import it as well.
Yeah, it's a.
You will have to go in and fix it, but it imports it properly.
It's a great investment. It's an investment in yourself and your future if this is something you want to do. If you're serious about screenwriting, Colleen and I certainly are, because we've got several movies to back that up, but we both use, I've got Final Draft on my laptop and on my desktop, and so does Colleen. So whenever we travel, we've got it with us at all times, and it's great for the beginning screenwriter, the professional screenwriter, and everybody in between.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to wind this up with Paul's book. His latest book is called From the Delta to the DMZ. This is book two in a three-book series. The third book will be out in 2026. What's the third book called?
It's called Peace with Honor. It's a three-book series about Vietnam. It takes place, obviously, in country.
In-country
correspondence.
In-country means?
In-country being in Vietnam. It's about a war correspondent who is a non-combatant who writes the human interest stories, the background of the human interest part of the blood and gut stories that were broadcast on the 6 o'clock news during the war. During the war, you could sit home at night in the United States or probably anywhere in the world while you were having dinner and watch every battle taking place in Vietnam. And you could see two guys loading a wounded soldier onto a helicopter, but you couldn't find out what those two guys felt while they were loading that man on the helicopter. And Sean will tell you in War Stories and Fairy Tales how they felt and where they were from and what happened to them.
Okay, and I will make sure to put a link down below so that you can buy it off Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, and any other book resellers. And make sure to leave a review, like, and share with family and friends. These make great gifts for the holidays that are coming up. So if you've got a heavy reader, these are great for the heavy readers. Any last words about writing scripts? Anything you want to tell people?
Stay tuned for more because we've just scratched the surface, and we're going to get deeply into helping you write your screenplay.
Right, because nobody tells you how to write a screenplay. I'm sure there are thousands of videos on how to start, but to really get into the nitty-gritty of the ugly part of writing your script, and there are some ugly parts.
There are some ugly parts.
But it's fun.
We're going to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, but getting from fade in to fade out is not as hard as you would think, right?
Works for me.
Okay. All right. Well,
see you next time.
Thank you for, of course, invoking your wisdom. And we appreciate all the work you do. And don't you have a book to write?
I have a book to write. I have a screenplay. I'm usually writing a book and a screenplay at the same time. So,
yeah,
so. That keeps my mind busy.
All right. Well, thank you all for watching. And we will see you next time on Beyond Words, A Novel Idea.
Take care.